Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on PGN. Today is August 17th. And it's Tuesday evening. This is Deborah with you tonight. So thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to be here and glad that you are with us and among us and listening even this evening or at a later time. We welcome you. The dial-in number is 319-527-6027. So thank you so much for joining us. Hey, there was a couple things the board was showing me today, there was a couple things. They kind of overlap and launch one thing off of another. And but I think where I really took off today with the Lord was a place in his word in 2 Peter. So we'll be going to be reading from 2 Peter and kind of talking about a few things about that and the elements and the timing when Peter wrote that, what he was addressing, and even when Peter was approaching his death and what he wanted the church to remember. So I think it's kind of significant for where we are today and that heaven is alive and moving and in our midst. And so let's pray today then. Hopefully we'll do some ministry later and pray and come into agreement and listen to testimonies and let the word of the Lord be confirmed among us and testify. The word of the Lord to testify unto him. So thank you again for joining us and for being here. Really, it's a pleasure to be here. And it's a joy. It's a joy and a pleasure to be here. So let's pray before we start. And then we'll kind of jump in and do this. So thank you, everyone, again, for joining us. We thank you, Father, Holy Spirit, for being amongst us in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness and your long-suffering and your kindness. We thank you that your word is true, that your word is refined as silver 7 times. We thank you for your promises, God. And we thank you, Lord. In 2 Peter 3, it says, "Beloved, do not forget this one thing, that the Lord, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So we thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. We thank you for your love and your goodness and your kindness. We thank you, God, that you count the days, Lord. We might not understand your math or your ways in doing that, God, and how you number things, God, but we thank you for it's in our favor, God, and that you think of us, Lord, because you number the hairs on our head, God. You give us angels, Lord. You count the angels, God. They're numerous, innumerable amount of angels, God, thousands upon thousands and myriad that are working in our favor, God, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, Lord. And we thank you, Father God, that you'd open and enlighten our spiritual eyes with your wisdom, with your knowledge, with your understanding, God, that we might walk in your ways with your purposes, God, that you are the light of the world and that we would see the world through your light, through your wisdom, through your knowledge, through your understanding, through your heart, God, and your temperament. Father, in Jesus' name, and we thank you for all that you're doing, God, in unlocking things, unfolding things, God, delivering. We thank you, God, even in some areas removing masks, Father. But we thank you. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. And I didn't mean that in a political way. In Jesus' name, we dedicate this evening to you, Father. May you be glorified, Lord, and we thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Be glorified in this place, God. Be glorified. In Jesus' name. Mm-hmm.
There's a sound proceeding from heaven and earth, emerging in the spirit like one never heard.
Praise God, heaven is alive. Okay, so let's jump into the word here. 2 Peter 1, well, excuse me, Peter was actually addressing the Christians. So they were mostly, in 2 Peter, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, they were mostly converted Gentiles. This is who Peter was addressing here. And he's encouraging Christians facing opposition from the world. Okay, and so Peter warns Christians against false teachers and those who would fellowship among them and try to lead them astray. So this is the heartbeat behind this. It also 2 Peter chapter 1 gives us an overview of what fruitful growth in the faith looks like. We might come back to that, but that might be something you want to look at and read on your own time and your own devotion, is faithful growth in the faith, fruitful growth in the faith. That's important. And I'm really going to focus on verses 16 through 21. But so Peter is approaching his death in verse 12, and it says, I would not be neglected to remind you always of these things, so you know and are established in this present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, today's talking about his body, to stir you up and remind you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as the Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you will always have a reminder of these things after my decease. So isn't that interesting that he is writing that, and he wants us to remember these things even after he's deceased, which is today. Okay. Verse 16, here it talks about this. It talks about a trustworthy prophetic word. I'm going to read verses 16 through 21, and then I'm going to kind of break this down a little bit. Oh, I almost dropped my phone. Let me move it right there. Okay, it says, and I'm going to read the New King James Version, and then I also have this little pocket of a thing opened here for cross-reference. Okay, here we go. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And, okay, so, okay, just cross-referencing that with something. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So actually, Peter is actually giving an account right there of being at the transfiguration. He's giving an account of that even after Jesus' resurrection, but he's saying he was there and he's declaring it and bringing it forth right there. So then verse 18 says, and we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Okay, so that's just confirming that they were there at the transfiguration. So how many times, do you know, let me ask you, did the voice from heaven come to testify? This is important. The voice from heaven came to testify about Jesus and who he was, not only giving him all authority and all power and confirming his majesty, right? Didn't he say that? An honor and glory when the voice came. Excellence of glory. Okay, the excellence of glory. Yes, it's so cool. I'm sorry, the way the disciples, the concise words that they chose to describe certain things are just very fascinating to me. Well, as you probably know, it was three times. It was once at his baptism, you probably remember that, Mark 1:11, at his transfiguration, which is Luke 9:35, and when the Greeks sought him in the temple, which is John 12:28. If you've never read that, let me just encourage you, may come back to that sometime, but there's a red letter Bible reading there, and it's like, wow, red letter in John 12:28. So if you've never read that, I would just encourage you to wow, Jesus, that's amazing. Okay, so thou verse, so he heard on the mountain, so he's giving testimony to the transfiguration. So then verse 19, he says, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed. Now here's some important things that he's telling us that he wants us to remember about a prophetic word, a trustworthy prophetic word. That's what the caption reads in 2 Peter 1:16-21. I'm sorry. But in verse 19, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you would do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but by holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so these things are still true even today, even though they're not the canonized Scripture of God, and there's still yet, of course, prophecy to be fulfilled, and he's even saying that here, he's saying, and when the morning star, and some verses, some, actually the morning star or day star is a metaphor for Christ. And so when Christ rises in your hearts, and so he is a little bit, that is a little bit of foreshadow of his second coming. and which is still written in the Word and will be confirmed. And we would do well to heed it as light that shines, okay, in dark places. So when the Word of the Lord comes forth, here are some things. Okay, so the things that Jesus taught when he was here on earth, he lived them, and then he fulfilled them in the ways of the Lord, right? So just like Jesus, things were confirmed within the word of the Lord and then prophecy. These things go hand in hand with a prophetic word, right? Especially in scripture. I know that they're talking about that. But they do run parallel. There's a parallel track in prophecy as well. Things become confirmed and then we begin to heed them and yield them. And so the same is true, like when the voice of heaven, so the voice of heaven came three times upon Jesus confirming. And he even says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be confirmed, right? So the word of God says that, but it also, Jesus, it also, the things that he taught, he lived. And then he fulfilled the ways of the Lord. And his purposes as well, right? So that was on Jesus as well. So that's part of the theme here too. So Peter was teaching against false traditions and false teaching. Okay, he also taught about the destruction of false teachers. If you want to read this on your own, because I'm really trying to spark some of your interest, because we are somewhat in these days. He's talking a little bit about the last days and the things that he doesn't want us to forget now that he's departing out of our presence. But he's saying, you know, I want to remind you of these things even after my decease, right? So they're very important and they're preeminent on his heart. So if the word of God is written out of the influence of the Holy Spirit, then we need to give heed to the Holy Spirit and what has been written here, okay? So, and he talks about the destruction of false teachers in 2, 4, and through 10, the description of a false teacher, again, chapter 2, 10 through 22, I'm talking fast, warning against the end-time deceivers, which he does call scoffers. Okay, so that goes into chapter 3, most of chapter 3 that's covered in there. And then he also talks to the believers of the day. And we might end there today, but or come back to it. But that likewise is in chapter 3 and just encouraging us to be steadfast in the ways of the Lord and that his promises, as I read earlier, his promises are not... There's not a delay, as some would call a delay, right? It's not slack in keeping them. Okay, so the word, when the prophetic word comes, it's saying, this is what I'm reading. When I'm reading in the word of the Lord in this particular passage, it's a trustworthy prophetic word, that there's evidence seen, it's known, and it's experienced. Okay? It's also confirmed, because he was saying confirmed. So it's talking about, even last week we talked in Mark 16:20, how there's accompanying signs. When the word of the Lord was being taught, there was accompanying signs that were happening when they went out and did that, okay? The word confirmed, when I looked it up, there's just a few. I just pulled out a few verses. Things that were confirmed were the covenant. 1 Corinthians 1:6 talks about Christ in you being confirmed. Right? Also confirmed in you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord. So that's 1 Corinthians 1:8. Romans 15:8. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the Father. So if that's even in the New Testament, but he's actually referring to things in the Old Testament, actually, as we know, a foreshadow of things to come. And now Jesus is the true light and the true fulfillment of both the Old and the New Testament and an ever-living covenant, blood covenant for us. Hebrews talks about that, okay? And so... a beautiful thing. Now, when it talks about testifying in the New Testament, now here's something that, again, was just relating to Jesus, because he lived out the prophetic word with that it was confirming and now testifying, okay, things that were testified as well. Testify in the New Testament is in there 22 times. I'm just going to pull out, I pulled out a handful here, but I'm just going to read a few. John 15:26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you, the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Okay, so they're all working in conjunction. Two or three witnesses right there testifying of Jesus, okay? First John 4:14, which is beautiful because that was John looking back. He had walked side by side with Jesus. And if you ever need a little boost of love or a boost of, a boost of just remembrance truly of who God is, well, First John is writing about that. He's looking back in remembrance of walking with Jesus and his, his affection towards him and his longing to remain with him and what he had with him. So 1 John 4:14 says, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior into the world. So again, he's giving testimony that he did walk alongside of him and that Jesus truly is the Savior of the world. Really incredible. Okay, so then Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. So again, these two things connect both the old and the new, that he would, that the Savior would come from the line of David. So that's even, prophetic in there. Not a prophecy inside a prophecy, but it's a word inside a word declaring truly who he is from beginning to end. And then Revelation 22:18, this is more of a warning testify, but it says, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of prophecy in this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. So that's very interesting, is that he's talking about the words of prophecy in the book, okay? And the words of prophecy. If anyone adds to these things, so if it's not in concordance and congruence with the word of God, God will add to him the plagues that were written in this book. That is a warning. That is a warning from God at talking about testifying. Okay, and one of the other words that we're, let's see, so we did confirmed, heed, now, let me see if there's anything I want to pull out from the word heed. It does, 1 Timothy 1:4 does talk about, he says, nor give heed to fables, which you see that written in the New Testament because sometimes some of the Jewish stories that were more of fables than they were of the Word of God, because of what they were believing for, this is my understanding, until he actually came. And okay, so to say it briefly, and endless genealogies, which cause dispute rather than godly edification, which is in the faith. So if we're going to be in the faith, we're going to have godly edification. That's how we know we're walking in faith, right? There's going to be godly edification. And that's why many people even here that listen to PGN, and not just on Tuesday night, but on Monday night, a beautiful way to kick off the week. Monday night, Wednesday night, in the middle of the week, beautiful time of faith there, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, okay? And it's because it encourages your faith, It's the word of God. It's a living word that's coming forth, and it's godly edification for your faith. And that's what you'll find. Okay, so 2:1, it says, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. So this is why we give heed to things, and lest we drift away. So that's actually telling us the benefit of why we would want to do that. Let me see. One thing, I just seen something about how shall we escape? Okay, so yeah, the latter part of Hebrews 2 says in verse 3, how shall we escape? Okay, hold on. Let me just read Hebrews 2, 1 through 4, because this reiterates all of my principles and statements that I made from 1 Peter 2, chapter 1, 16 through 21. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Again, there's that word confirmed. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Okay, so that is the evidence of a prophetic word. So a trustworthy prophetic word is going to be confirming. There's going to be light and edification in the faith. There is going to be that we take heed. Okay, so it's going to be confirming, and it's going to testify. So there's going to be evidence. There'll also be evidence to it, you know, accompanying signs or evidence. It's going to be seen. It's going to be known, and it's going to be experienced. So, you know, and those things somewhat overlap and transpire and kind of can be like a facet to a gem. If you have a gem that's cut and has many different facets, that's what that would be. Okay, so knowing this first, this is what we need to know even now, is that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. And he wanted us to know that then, and he wants us to know that now. Okay, for prophecy, okay, and then he said, talking about Scripture, never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so this is important. I'll just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. If you want to Jeremiah 17:24, he talks about, and it shall be if you heed me carefully, says the Lord, I will bring no burden through the gates of the city on the Sabbath day. So he's talking about them acknowledging him and, you know, following him, that he would actually bless, he would be the gatekeeper and bless the entire city and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So we need to remember, too, that our obedience, you know, and even as they do that, out of the outflow of heeding him carefully, out of the outflow of that is that we actually bring him our gifts. We bring him our sacrifices. We bring him our offerings. And in doing that, we're worshiping him. We're worshiping the Lord. And out of that outflow of obedience, it's actually blessing. It's blessing the city. It's blessing, you know, the gatekeepers at the opening of the city. And in those places, its inhabitants. Its inhabitants and those praise in the house of the Lord. Hey, have you heard that song from Bill Wickham? I think it's about praise in the house of the Lord, something, or house of the Lord. You need to hear it if you haven't heard it. That's really good. Or just talk about joy in the house of the Lord. But let your house be the house of the Lord. Let your house be a tent before the Lord. And let me just see if there's anything here. Okay. I think we're all good for that right now. Okay, so thank you, Father, for just showing us what is a trustworthy prophecy, God, in your word, and the outcome of it, God, and what we can see, what's transpired, God, as it's confirmed. Okay, so any trustworthy prophecy should be confirmed at some point. Okay, confirmed and heeded and yielded, and there will be evidence. It will be seen. It'll be known, like, hey, I've seen that. Or, you know, it's confirming to you in your spirit, and it has yet to be seen or yet to be heard. And sometimes too, we learn. I'm just thinking the Holy Spirit just reminded me that, just to illustrate this too, that he has woken me up before in the middle of the night to pray for different leaders. And really what I do is I write it down, and I haven't really shared it with many people. And I just pray and intercede for that. I make note of it. And whatever the Lord is that the Lord wants to accomplish in that person, I mean, there's literally some people I have never heard of, and I will Google their name to see what is the Lord, what is it? What is it, Lord, that you're trying to say? How are you trying to lead me? Why are you just, you know, with some, why are you just speaking this name? With others, it was one that was about to sign a contract. I seen the contract, and the Lord did not want this to be signed by this person, and like it was going to really grieve the Holy Spirit if this person signed this particular contract. I don't know anything about the contract. And when I said in my dream, I don't even know why, but apparently the Lord wanted to reveal this to me. I said, Lord, well, who is it? And he spoke the name, literally spoke the name, and I woke up. So then I began to pray for this person. So I don't really track these people, and I don't really like it's not like I'm going to sing or anything. I'm just going to do what the Holy Spirit asked me to do. So in that particular thing, if that's how the Lord wants to use me and to pray and to intercede, sometimes like you'll begin to see a pattern a little bit of how the Lord uses you. Sometimes mine is in transition. I do see the Lord use me when people are in transition in their lives. And then also when there's some type of, I don't know if it's an emergency or whatever it might, I don't know if it's considered an emergency, but sometimes it's like a 911 thing where it's urgent. It's very urgent. So I try to participate with the Holy Spirit in that too. So anyways, so thank you so much for bearing with me tonight. And we really should grow in the word of the Lord and be fruitful in our faith, especially during these times. So I'm just going to read that. I might end a little bit early tonight. I am. We all have a lot going on, so that's okay. But I know the Lord loves his word. He honors his word. He's faithful to his word. And heaven is alive. Heaven is alive in your heart and in your life, and we are to be his people who help, you know, not just to be passive observers, but to help God. We are to receive grace and grow in knowledge and join him in his work of redemption. And that is our place on earth, that we join him in his work of redemption. So so even when I say transition, there might be a type of redemption that needs to happen there, redeeming, redemption, and redeeming. So let's thank the Lord for that. I thank him for how he uses you and how he uses me and how he's growing all of us. Okay, so here, verse, same chapter, but verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, even more diligent to make your call and election sure. If you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's a beautiful passage of word right there. And the virtue there, virtue is actually like excellence of moral character. The excellence of moral character. I was reading that in, I think, my husband's Bible this afternoon. Excellence and moral character. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for who you are, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. So grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue, by which you have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So it's even saying the corruption that is in the world is because of lust. But this is a good prayer to pray. 1 Peter 1, that was verse 2. And we have a precious faith that's been given to us by the righteousness of our God. And pray that these things, let me just pray this prayer. I'm just going to take this word, the Lord, and pray over us. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you for breakthrough. And those who are listening, God, we thank you, Father God, for them just breaking through, God, and really seeing and breaking through the veil. God, breaking through dimness and dullness in the name of Jesus, Lord. Any foggy thinking, murky thinking of who Jesus is and his place and role in their lives, God, and what he's establishing, how he's establishing their hearts in him. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that they'd be rooted and grounded in the things of the Lord. I thank you, God, for those who, Lord, feel dispelled from the things of Christ just because of things that are going on in the world. God, I pray again, Lord, that they would have breakthrough, Lord, that they would keep pressing and moving forward, that they would stand steadfast, Lord, in your promises and trust you, Lord, that they would remember as the patriarchs did when they prayed, Lord, that that you are there, that they would remember how you've worked in their life in the past. God, how they've known you, Lord, that they would stir up their faith, stir up their gifts, Lord, in you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, Lord, that, that even... I pray for the purity and the washing of your word to sanctify them, God. But I do pray that grace and peace would be multiplied in your divine power in all things that pertain to their life, God, that they would knowledge of you and are called to your glory and to your virtue, God. And we thank you, God, for your exceedingly great and precious promises. They would break through to your promises, God, in Jesus' name. And I thank you that we're partakers of a divine nature, not just a human nature, but we have a divine nature, and that they would bless their spirits and bless their souls, God, with creativity, God, with initiative, with intention, God, into their divine nature, God. I thank you for the breakthrough in that, God, in Jesus' name. And Lord, that they break through, and it would even be like a fine wine, Lord, that they break through to, God, that they just the richness of your glory, God, that they would be able to taste the richness of your glory and see that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, caller 251-229, good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Sarah calling from Alabama.
Hey, Sarah, how are you?
I'm just getting over the cold.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope you're feeling better.
Oh, thank you so much.
Was it just a regular cold, like a seasonal thing, or...?
Oh, it's sort of like the COVID. I got over.
Oh,
I'm getting over that. Yeah.
Oh wow! God bless you. God bless you. Oh my goodness. Wow. Well, I'm glad to hear that you are okay. Are you at home?
Not at the time.
Okay. Okay. But I mean, you're not in the hospital calling, are you?
I came in with my mother. My mother has it.
So your mother has it?
Yeah, she, I'm low-key, or whatever, but she's high-key. Because well, people are now, like, not going with their mask on and doing all that kind of stuff. So I believe she caught it like that.
Oh, wow. I'm so sorry. So has she been admitted?
Uh-huh.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry to hear that. Okay.
Yeah,
all right, well, we'll pray for her, too. Yeah, we'll pray for her. I know we had a handful of friends just right around us, just, I mean, like dominoes, you know. So, yeah. Okay, that's hard. Okay, I'm going to put you on mute for a second while I pray for you. I'm going to pray for your mom first, though, on this virus thing, and, then I'll come back to you, okay? I mean, I'll come back. So thank you. And I'll also pray, minister to you. Father, we thank you for Sarah, God, and her mom, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would touch their lungs, Lord, touch their sinuses, God. In Jesus' name, touch their head, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just bind any more effects, God, of this virus, God, that it would not proceed in the name of Jesus, Lord, but it would cease, Lord, and begin to get knocked out, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. I pray for their oxygen levels, Lord, to remain healthy, to remain strong, God, in Jesus' name. We thank you for your protection, God, that you would interrupt, Lord, that you would be an invader and stand against this virus within Sarah, within her mother, God, in Jesus' name, that you would just push this thing back in the name of Jesus, Lord, and protect them, God. We call forth life, health, vigor, vitality, God, fullness, Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray for your healing. God, we thank you for what you did on the cross in Psalm 103, God, that you healed all of our diseases, Lord. And it's through your loving kindness, Lord, our transgressions and our iniquities, God, you poured yourself out, Lord. And through your loving kindness, Lord, and steadfastness, Lord, your goodness, it says your goodness and your loving kindness, Lord, to deliver us from destruction, God. So I thank you, Lord, that there would be no destruction of this virus, Father, within their bodies, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are the purchaser of their bodies, Lord, and of their minds and of their souls and of their spirits, God. And I thank you, God, again, for standing fast within them, God, to push this back and to push it out. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you for fullness of restored health in Jesus' name, Lord. And all those who are listening and believing for friends, for themselves, Lord, for loved ones, family members, in Jesus' name, we include this prayer for them, Father God, and we lift up their names to you, God, as we're lifting them up in our hearts and in our minds to you, Father God. We thank you for the fullness of recovery, Lord, in Jesus' name, and fullness of restored health, God, in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. And please protect us and our directions as we go out, Lord, and as you lead us, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for Sarah, Father God. I thank you, Lord. I just bring her to your altar of grace, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God, for covering her. I just see him being a real covering for you, even over your head. There is a thing in the Jewish people, they, I forget which time of year it is. It's a certain time of year where they actually camp outside for a week, and they hang up, it's like tents. It's like they make a tent, but it's actually very, okay, you may have seen it. It's a sukkah. I think it's a sukkah, something of the sort. And it just looks like sticks, basically, like four sticks with like a rug or a blanket covering the top of it. It's very primitive, if you will, and during the Jewish time, but they were to stay outside for the, and if you ever, okay, they were, let me finish this up. If they were to stay outside and to camp outside for 7 days, and it's just a way of saying to the Lord, and some Jewish people still will do this, but maybe they'll use a real tent, or maybe they'll build the sukkah thing, it's to say that the Lord is their covering and the Lord is their protector through all of the elements that they trust him, no matter what life brings them and the outcome, that he covers them and that they completely trust him for protection and safety and covering and all of that. And again, some people, I remember talking about this at our other church that we went to, that was very, they very much interweaved the Old Testament with the New Testament as far as like why they did it and the foreshadowing, like why they continued to do this, basically the celebrations and the elements and what they were doing before the Lord, which is very interesting. But again, I don't remember the time and the season and why they did that, but I know that there were some people who literally had the Jewish descent within them that would actually do this and still do this before the Lord. I remember going one time to a woman's gathering, and at the end of it, we walked down this little, it wasn't like a fire tunnel or anything. It was like a, it was a little remembrance thing before the Lord, but at the very end was this blanket type of thing that was hanging, which that was representative of this that I just spoke of. And when I got underneath this thing, there was such an anointing and such a covering, such an anointing. I mean, I was just weeping a little bit, but beyond that, I could tangibly feel the presence of the Lord covering me in that moment. And I'm kind of seeing that for you as well. And I don't have a way to Google that or to get more on that. But I thank you, Father God, for what I'm seeing, Lord, and for how you're covering her and caring for her through all the elements, you know. And as they're under this thing, like they can see all the elements. If it rains for a week, it rains for a week. You know, they just have that one covering. And but the Lord will come through, that he is faithful. And it's just like an outward, it's like an out for them, basically. It's an outward element of saying, I trust you, Lord. I trust you with my faith. I trust you with all that life will bring, all the unknown that's coming, that you've got me covered. And you're, you know, you, I am covered by you. And so I literally seeing this covering, but like you are under the shadow of the Almighty and under his wing. Cause I literally see covering like that, like you're under it. And, so we thank you for that. I thank you for the anointed. I thank you for the Ancient of Days and the anointing to be upon her, Father God, and to be instilled in her, God. I thank you, Lord, that as she continues to trust in you with such faithfulness, Lord, and purity in heart, Lord, and purity and service, God, that you would just begin to draw out more and more the purposes and the will of God in her life, Lord, and the things that you've placed in her, God, let her begin to see them clearer, Lord, and rejoice in them and even delight in them, Father, that it's truly your ways being extracted, God, on earth for redemption in the earth, Lord. And I thank you, God, for using her in such a way, Lord, that brings glory and honor to your name. So we thank you, Lord, and just come into agreement with the will of God upon her life and upon her heart, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. I think it's called the hoopah. Is that what it's called?
Okay. A sukkah, is that what you're saying?
Uh-huh, the hoopah, where you go under when you're about to get married.
No, you're not going to, it's not that. It's not with an H. It starts with an S, I think. Sukkah, I think it is. But let me do that, because maybe that, oh no, because that's something. Yeah, I can't get it because I don't know how to spell it. Sorry. And the,
yeah.
But I know what I'm talking about because I've seen it. I've seen it in a couple of different places where it's just. But again, if I could remember the time of year, I would the celebration and the reason that why they did it like this. The seasonal time of year for the Jewish people, then I could Google that, but I don't have that. I don't remember. But yes, I definitely see them covering you, which is the important part, you know, and this, being under his covering. So.
Oh, how awesome. I feel anointed. I feel really praising the Lord that, he gave you such that revelation knowledge to pray for me and my mother.
Yeah, for sure, yes. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, God, continue to bless you, and your prayer registry is awesome.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And may you be blessed, too, and you take care of yourself and your mother as well, and we'll continue to lift them up as the Holy Spirit leads. So, but I'm believing for a full recovery and restored health in Jesus' name. So.
Amen. I believe it, too.
Yeah. Amen.
He's going to bring us out.
Amen. Is there, and I'm very glad you called for prayer too as well tonight. Is there any other prayer requests, any other specifics?
Well, my daughter, I'm praying that she doesn't have it. She doesn't have it. Yeah, it's just both of us. And she runs. But her name is Leah. And I pray that the Lord lead and guide her footsteps.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Father, for Leah, God. And is she at school or she hasn't started school yet?
She hasn't. She's going to be working.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, Father, we thank you, God, for Leah, Lord, and that you would lead her and guide her in her steps, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that she would grow in you as well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. I just pray that prayer, as I was praying earlier, God, that grace and peace be multiplied to Leah and the knowledge of God and Jesus, her Lord, that his divine power has been given to Leah in all things that pertain to her life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called Leah by his glory and virtue, by which she has been given exceedingly great and precious promises. And through these, Leah, you may be a partaker of his divine nature. So we thank you that you will escape the corruption of this world through lust in Jesus' name. That it could be pride of life, lust of the flesh, whatever that is, God, that we thank you for the preservation, the spiritual preservation and inheritance and the promises that you have for her, Father God, that you would direct her steps and guide her in those things, Lord. And also, Lord, protect her physical health, God, that you would just protect her body, soul, and spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you, too. God love you. I know you're struggling there. God bless you. Thank you so much for your faithfulness.
Have a blessed night.
Thank you. You, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Okay. 323-572. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
This is Frida.
Oh, hi, Frida. How are you?
I'm fine.
From California? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, good, good. Well, thank you for joining us. Glad to have you. Let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you for Frida, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that you would confirm your ways to her, God, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. You know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are always working in conjunction with each other, like when we even read it. And throughout even the Old Testament and the New Testament and how they're in fellowship and community one with another, they each have very three separate and divine roles and earthly roles as well. Yet remaining with the deity, this kind of theologically correct there, but I'm seeing that there is the intertwining work of the Holy Spirit, like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in your life, and even the roles in which they bring you. Because sometimes, and I do this too, but sometimes. We can say like, oh, the Lord did this. Or sometimes people will say Jesus and Jesus is Lord. Okay, like there'll be an emphasis on one more than the other because that's how we really identify, which, and that's okay because that brings us into the kingdom, you know, and to know that is perfectly fine. But like we never hear the Holy Spirit or the Holy Spirit never like pulls on our coattail and says, hey, that was me, like you great, you gave the Father credit, but it was really the Holy Spirit, you know, so the whole, because they just all work together in that, but the Holy Spirit does have its own separate role. So I see the Lord actually bringing it, you into a place of a deeper understanding of, and actually really delighting in it and enjoying the knowledge of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And how we relate to them. And sometimes we can be sometimes where there's hesitations with maybe some people. Actually, the example I'm thinking of is my husband a lot of times will say, he'll talk about Jesus, and he'll have sometimes hesitations about the Holy Spirit. But it is because of he totally receives the Holy Spirit and acknowledges the Holy Spirit. And it has to do with how he relates to the Holy Spirit and like where and how he identifies with the Holy Spirit and where his own personal being and in relationship of how he relates to other people as well. That's where he's just got some, I don't even know if I'm being actually clear or not. But, and even if you listen to PGN, like I have an emphasis on the Heavenly Father because that's how I was brought to the Lord as well. And him even saying, to me at the altar, you know, that father you've always wanted, I am he. And then I learned later in scripture that is exactly how he talked in the book of John when he was talking to his disciples, and he said, I am he. And when I read that, I about fell out, which was years later. I just thought it was weird verbiage that he spoke to me, but then I realized he does speak that way, and I didn't even know it was in the word. So I can relate to the Heavenly Father more in that I have a father over my life and can identify with it because he instilled that and imparted that into me. And that's so much of my journey and so much of my story and so much of my coming to Christ to begin with. And I had to grow in my knowledge of the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I did not have a lot of understanding truly of who Jesus was. But so for you, I'm seeing the of them working together really coming into alignment for you, and like the blessing of that being with you and an impartation, the sweetness of the Spirit, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in your life. And like I'm seeing it's an alignment and the sweetness of it, that coming together and the acknowledgement. And it might even be, I didn't realize until just now as I begin to release some of that, is a confirmation of them working and confirming things in your life and in your walk too, in Jesus' name. And how he speaks to you as well, because when he does that, he grows us, he's growing us up in the faith, and he's establishing things in our heart that he has called us to do, to redeem and to restore and to reconcile. So your assignment, Frida, you know, and my assignment to redeem and to restore and to reach the people we're going to reach, he has to establish us, and then he draws that out of us in faith. And it's so, and then he will confirm that when we're obedient in faith, and we step out and do that, like you feel his good pleasure on that in your life. So do you remember the movie or maybe heard about it, Chariots of Fire? And the man ran and he said, I feel God's good pleasure on me when I run. And so there's just this like confirmation of like, hey, you're heading in the right direction, and the goodness of God, this alignment and this sweetness of the Holy Spirit is with you. And then he confirms it somewhat in an outward sign, or you just want to kind of declare it, you know. Another way too is that me being called to this type of region in our city and recently moving and feeling the Lord, really, we did it out of obedience. It was so much work. We did it out of obedience. And I feel like I'm on, I call it the wing of the city. Okay. So the city's pretty big. It has two different area codes. So, I mean, I know there's bigger cities with more area codes, but where we are, I call it that I'm on the wing of the city. And so he just confirmed something. Even when I went, the first time I went shopping at the first store I went to, he confirmed it with how much I paid for something at the store was exactly the same number, which is the number for that is 22. Him just confirming that, yeah, this is your region, this is the place, and so he'll do that so that you know what you're doing. Another example I just want to give, because sometimes it's with words too. At this particular job that I worked at, I was to intercede for my boss and mentor to a worker. You know, there was a lot that he taught. And at one point I was told the Lord that I wasn't going to pray for him. I just didn't want to pray for him anymore because I don't know, I think that day we butted heads or whatever. And so the Lord convicted me about that. And so I told the Lord, well, I would pray for him. So, Lord, I would know, Lord, that it's you. I asked the Lord, Lord, if you show me his name, then when I see his name, then I will pray for him and I'll know that it's you, Lord, asking me to pray, okay? So, like, from that time on, it was, like, a turning point. So then anytime I had a waiter that had, like, a waiter or the name of the restaurant would have his name, it's just, like, a one-syllable name, it would be from the Lord, and I would pray for him. So one time we went into a restaurant, and I realized the restaurant was this person's name. And then when the waiter came to the table, it was the same name. He had the same name. And so the Lord was just confirming to me, the Lord and the Holy Spirit were just confirming, hey, you're walking in this way. I see where you're walking. I see what you're doing. I see your calling. Now it's your part. You do the obedient part and you pray, you know, because the confirmation is on you. So that's what I'm seeing is this alignment and the goodness and the sweetness that you really sensing that, you know, and then, you know, the blessing of the Lord comes with that. So all those other things are to illustrate in a different way so that you might know how, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, how he's developing that and bringing that about for you yourself to bring about redemption and partnering with him to bring redemption and restoration to the earth and share the gospel as well. And all of the gifts that he's given you, it all works in conjunction and him establishing that in your heart. And then he draws out this redemption. He draws out even your story and your testimony for others to receive, that his name be lifted up, that he draw all men unto him in Jesus' name. So bless the name of the Lord on you for that.
Amen.
Amen. So how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, actually. I wanted to call in because I was talking with my niece earlier. She's 29, and I'm not sure what's going on, but I had some concerns because I've seen a few things that she would post on social media, and I just think that she is separating herself from God. And so it was on my heart to say something to her about it and ask her not to, like, you know, like, jump down her throat or whatever, but I just asked her, I said, can you explain to me what is all that stuff that I see? And she said, oh, I'm just observing, or I'm just looking at things or something. And I said, well, that's not of God. And I said, all that stuff is not connected to God. And she said, I know. I said, I don't know what you're trying to chase after, but whatever you're trying to chase. And so I shared with her what was on my heart to say to her, and then I got off the phone with her, but I really don't quite understand, because she was brought up in the church. My older sister is her mother, and she gave her life to God when she was 17. And she's older than I am, so my niece was brought up in the church, so I'm not exactly sure. A lot of that comes from influence.
Right.
And a lot of the times when you're trying to fill a void that you can't seem to figure out what the emptiness is, people try to chase after something.
Exactly.
That they'll never have an answer to.
Right. Or they'll never fill them, or they'll never be satisfied. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I just really wanted to pray over my niece, because I know that's not the will for her life. And I just think that the enemy is trying to get a stronghold over her, because she's had a little bit of trauma in her life. And I think that trauma has caused her to cycle and circle around again and again and again, and she keeps cycling back to the trauma that happened to her, and mm-hmm. that's what keeps setting her back. Place of emptiness.
Yeah, that's really good. I think that the Lord is giving you wisdom and insight for her, and probably to intercede for her. So I would keep asking. I mean, I'm definitely going to pray for her before we end, but I just want to encourage you to keep asking the Holy Spirit how you ought to pray for her, and really pay attention to what you find in the Word of God, because that's the most powerful. I've did this over my own children, and I've said, Lord, I don't know what's going on. Or even if I do know what's going on, I just think, Lord, how should I pray? Because I don't want to pray out of my own soul for them, even though I could. Do you know what I'm saying? But I want to pray because God created them with his purposes and his will for their life. And I'm limited, and my love for them is finite, you know, so it's limited. All the resources that I have, even though I can tap into God, but anything beyond that, you know, is really going to, apart from God, nothing, like it'll all be futile, you know, even in my own wisdom and even in my own. So I really try to ask the Holy Spirit, how should I pray? What should I pray? And I have different verses, and I ask them at mm-hmm. times to show me things so that I can be encouraged and I can allow the word to do its work, you know, because if he sent his word to accomplish and purpose that in which it was sent, I want the word of the Lord to go forth, because even in Hebrews, when it talks about the word of the Lord is sharper, living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing soul, heart, and intent of the heart, you know, and dividing that, it can divide and show her even her heart intention and her heart thoughts. That's what the word of God can do. Well, that's what I want it to do. And I can't, I can know truth, but to send forth the word to be sent forth to accomplish, I need the Holy Spirit. I need to know what the Holy Spirit wants me to pray for that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I need to know, like, when do I let up and allow the word to do its work, you know, and to draw out. And then, you know, there might be times where I'm like, I have great concern. I'm concerned in my soul. My spirit is, like, not angst, but it's disrupted. It's unsettled. Unsettled is a better thing. It feels unsettled. Then I'm giving the Lord my heart. I'm pouring things out of my – and then he's doing a work in me while I'm still being obedient to this other thing. But let's pray for her, because I do understand what you're saying, but I think you have a lot of insight and wisdom and to help her and to actually be a voice. If you remain, you know, with love and kindness, and that you're for her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's areas that she's not seeing yet that you clearly see. And I know usually prophetic people, because I am definitely can be like this, is that, like, I know where the truth is. And if someone else isn't there yet, sometimes I can really hang on to that like a dog with a bone. Do you know what I mean? Like, I got my stakes in the ground mm-hmm. and they're not there yet. But I have to really allow that person time to get there. And I think I've tried to pull people or like I've really had my stakes in the ground for, you know what I mean? And it's mm-hmm. probably not been the best for their sake as I think it would,
yeah.
You know, there's still some tension there, but I say that because here, this is a prophetic network. It's usually prophetic people who are drawn to other prophetic people, you know, and a company. Mm-hmm. So there's probably something in you that's prophetic, you know? So, let's pray for her. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for Frida's niece. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray, God, for just every part of her heart, God, the longing, God, the desires, Lord, the passions, Lord, the compassions, God, the challenges, Lord, the victories, Lord. We pray for all of those things, Lord, the acceptance, really, God, the acceptance, the worth, the value, the approval. God, all of those places, Lord, that you have in our heart, Lord, where the word says that the law is written in our heart, God, because it's to draw out and to meet you, God, that only you truly can fill that, Lord. We pray, God, that this you would draw her back, Lord, and that it would be quickly, God, it would be swiftly, God, that you would open her eyes to truth and her ears to hear. In Jesus' name, God, I pray that she would trust the still small voice in her, God, and that she would heed that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, even speak to her and her dreams, God. We thank you for the faith that you've imparted into her, the faith that you've instilled into her. In Jesus' name, I pray, God, that you are the author and the finisher, and we pray, Holy Spirit, you would have your full work in her life and in her heart, Lord, that she would be rooted and grounded and established in you. God, wake her up, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that you would protect her from any dangers, Lord, and you would, and spiritual dangers, God, and you would protect her and preserve her spiritually for you, God. We pray, Lord, that you would call her back to, God, her original design. Lord, whatever this trauma is, whatever this placement is, God, that you have original design for her. So we call forth the order of this design in her life, Lord, and we pray for a full restoration, Lord, that you would do an inward working of restoration in her life, God. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name, that it be restored and redeemed and hemmed in, mended, and grafted. God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for that, God, that it would have in such a way, God, it would be fully nourished and repaired, God, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for Frida, God, speaking to her and leading her as she intercedes and prays for her, God, that you would send forth your word, Lord, to heal. God, it be a restorative word to heal, God, and to have its full function in its full way, and to accomplish that in which you sent it. God, let it be anointed. Send forth an anointed word of prayer that she could pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for calling. Yeah.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you, Lord. Okay, caller 910-709. Good evening. Oh, is this Sylvia?
Yes. Yes,
okay,
how are you?
I just realized. Good, how are you?
Good.
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, great, great.
Good. Well, good to hear your voice, and thank you for joining us. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for Sylvia, God, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, just for the prophetic words of the Lord, like lining up. The prophetic words are lining up, and they're speaking and coming forth. And I would encourage you to the prophetic words that have been spoken over you to begin thanking the Lord for them coming forth, especially the ones that you're seeing and knowing, things that are aligning, and even I know that you do come into agreement with them, but speaking them forth, like coming to agreement with them, praying them. I don't know if you do this, but like sometimes when I'm prayed for, I record it on the voice memo on my phone, and then I'll go back to that. Or sometimes when I'm in prayer, the Lord will have me listen to those prophetic words that I just pray over. I allow them to have their full work in my life, you know, at different times.
Yeah.
But I'm seeing the prophetic words coming into I don't want to say alignment, but they're coming into place. I mean, it is alignment, but I don't want to use that word alignment. Like, they're coming into place and just encouraging you to participate with them, and the parts that you may not know, even ask the Lord, but speaking them forth, as even praying and agreeing that with them, especially the ones that you're seeing, because it's going to cause, like, one works in conjunction with the other, like they overlap, but they lead us on the path. Yes. And then I don't know if you were listening earlier or not, but I was talking about 2 Peter 1, he was talking verses 16 through 21, a trustworthy prophetic word. That's what Peter was talking about. And some of the things I was saying that I was seeing in the word was that they were confirmed, that there's evidence. It's seen, known, and experienced. So when you begin to see those things, like they're all, it's all working together. So begin like stepping into that and moving forward in that. Yeah. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. Let me see something. Okay, wait. Here's my book. Let me look up this number here. Something. Oh, yeah. So, like one gets you going to the next. Like, it gets you moving. That's what I was going to say. It gets us moving. So it is faith. Action. Sorry, my book is maybe right under the microphone, so I apologize for that. oh, this is weird. So it says, not weird, but I did not know this. It says, the Holy Spirit's perfect movement. Saying it, because it's moving. Fullness of blessing, renewal. Yeah, so that's good. And also evangelist is in there too. Evangelism. So, and the fruits of the Spirit. So thank you, Father, Lord, for using Sylvia, God, Lord, and moving her forward. Let the movement of the Holy Spirit be in her life, God, even prophetically, pronounced and proclaimed, God. Let the movement of the word, because the word is living and active. And so is the movement of the prophetic word is living and active and has movement. So we thank you for the movement of the Holy Spirit on her life, God. We thank you, Lord, the things that she needs to capture, she would capture. The things in your word, God, and the movement of the Holy Spirit, the things that she needs to speak and to come into agreement with that are pertained to this hour, God, that she would do that, God. Even if there's anything to reclaim, God, but the movement and the, God, let it have its full effect and its full way, God. Let it be accomplished in her life, Lord, for your purposes and for your divine will and your divine nature, God. We thank you for that, Lord, that you have a plan, or that we know that you have a plan, Lord, but your plan includes her to be a part of your redemption on earth, your reconciliation and restoring things on earth as they are in heaven, God. I thank you, Lord, that you would broaden all of our eyes and our hearts and our understandings to this, God, that it is not just our day-to-day mundane, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday type of thing, waiting for the weekend, God, or waiting for the opportunity that is ahead to step into, God, but it's our everyday, God, that you would open our eyes, Lord, in our daily tasks, Lord, and our daily position with you, God, in Jesus' name. I thank you in the places that you have us in obedience to your word, Lord. I pray that you would, by your Spirit, even supply a refreshing, God, like going to that pump or going to that well, God, that we have access to refreshing. And then also seeing a sweetness, like a sweetness from heaven when the anointing comes like honey, God. So we thank you. We thank you for that, God. We call upon your name and draw from you, Lord. And we thank you for your goodness. Let the fullness of your goodness and your glory be displayed and manifested in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I really stepped into that one. I mean, I just was like, yeah, I was visually seeing it as I was praying it. So that was me stepping into it. That's what I mean. Yeah. So that was
so
good.
That refreshing and the sweetness of sweetness like honey.
Yeah.
What was that?
That was the anointing. So we have access to the refreshing, right?
Yeah.
We have access.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then the honey was like the sweetness, yes, of his presence and the anointing.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for praying for me tonight.
Sure. Yes. My privilege. I count it a privilege. So glad you joined us and jumped on the line. Thank you. Yes, thank you so much. Okay, God bless you.
We have. God bless you too.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Well, thank you everyone for joining us. I'm going to just end just a few minutes early, and I'm seeing the time here, so I'm delighted by that. And okay, so keep pressing on. You know, but with the Holy Spirit. So, you know, he is like he's good. He's good because we're yoked with him. So our burdens, let our burdens be light and our spirits easy. We would be yoked with him, that he would teach us, that we would learn of his ways and of his gentleness. And, we thank you, Lord, that we do not want to get ahead of you, God. We don't want to, you know, run on our own fumes or on our own anything, God. We're very dependent upon you. We're yielding upon the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, apart from you, we can do nothing. So we thank you for your anointing. We thank you for this divine nature, God, and certainly, God, that we would indeed know, like, Lord, second, Peter 1, we would know of a trustworthy prophetic word. Lord, we'd grow in your word so that we can be established. Lord, that we would be fruitful in our faith, Lord, and that grace and peace would be multiplied in the knowledge of you, God. We ask for this, Lord. We even ask for dreams, Lord, impartations, God, encouragement, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, we bind any other spirit in our household that would try to enter. We wouldn't participate with any, Lord. And the only spirit that's welcomed is the Holy Spirit. We thank you for release of angels and there be unity in the spirit and multiplication in Jesus' name. So thank you. God bless you, everyone.